so we're going to start off today. Opening up this new series, it's an interesting book. It's one of those Old Testament books that often we don't go and read or don't read much about because we really don't know what to do with it. It seems kind of odd at times. And so if you've never heard a series on this book, I wouldn't be surprised because it's not one that most preachers preach about all too often. They'll often quote various passages from it because it has some amazing quotable lines for us. But often to take the book as a whole, to look at it, and to begin a series is something that many of us don't tend to do. But I want to start by reading the opening lines from the book. It is chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 7 as it begins to open the story. And then I'll kind of break down and talk about a little bit, not only what the book is about, but also what Proverbs are about and how we as best can understand and apply them to our lives. Chapter 1, verse 1, the book of Proverbs opens like this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for the gaining of wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving guidance to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's how the book begins, and it sets out kind of an introduction to what the whole idea of what Proverbs are going to be about. They are a collection of sayings. For the most part, the bulk of the book is about a collection of sayings that Solomon, son of David, as he identifies himself here in the opening phrases, was to gather and or write the collective wisdom of the community. Words that could be memorable, words that could be transferable from one generation to the next, that would teach, would hold on to either community value or something of wisdom that they could pass along. Now, this is not uncommon. The book of Proverbs in the Bible is this particular library of wisdom contained, again, from 3,000 years ago, the days of King David, and King Solomon, excuse me. But Proverbs are, outside of the Bible, are all over the place as well. Think about it. We say Proverbs in our world as well. But before I do that, let me tell you, what is a proverb? That's a good question. Proverb, if you went to your dictionary and said, what is a proverb? Well, it would say that it's a short, pithy, pithy saying in general use, stating a general truth or a piece of advice. That's what a proverb is. And think about it. We in our culture have proverbs as well. If I were to say one, you could finish it for me, couldn't you? Two wrongs don't make a right. Now, everyone knows that. You know exactly what it is. Why? Because it's memorable. It's rememorable, or memorizable, maybe I should say. Are any of those words? Okay, you know what I'm saying. And so they are able to be held onto, shared, passed along in a way that then says something, even though we all know it. How about this one? Who can finish this one? Actions speak. Yeah, see how it works. Now these become, again, wisdom sayings or things that we want to pass along because that becomes part of our culture, what it means to pass these things along, that actions speak louder than words. You know, that there is something profound, not just about saying you're going to do something, but actually following through and doing it. And we don't have to go into a long dissertation on it. We simply say in this short, pithy saying, actions speak louder than words. And all cultures do this. All cultures have ways of sharing the community's wisdom and passing it along. I was looking and doing some research on proverbs that are not in the Bible, not in our culture, but it might be kind of fun for us. And I found that across Africa, there's all kinds of these proverbs that go around. I love some of these. I love this from Uganda. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Is that true? It's good, isn't it? Okay. Or how about this one? Another African from Nigeria. He who pelts another with pebbles asks for stones in return. That's thoughtful, isn't it? It does sound familiar. Almost a little sticks and stonesy, doesn't it? Those who glass houses don't throw stones. Okay, there you go. I guess there aren't any glass houses in Nigeria, so yeah. Okay, I like this one. This one here also from Ethiopia. No matter how many times you wash a goat, it will still smell like a goat. Now see, now there's some wisdom here. This is not from the Bible, folks. This isn't God's word, but this is just accumulated kind of wisdom that parent to child to grandchildren down the way, this wisdom gets passed along and it becomes part of what it means to be part of our society, our culture. You know, now sometimes it's hard, especially when you're passing it on to your young, because the young don't always get the nuances. They don't. And so actually, some of the familiar ones in our culture actually were asked of a first grade class, and they asked if the first graders would finish the one like we did earlier. And actually, here's a couple of them. The Proverbs according to first graders. You can't teach an old dog, how's it go? New tricks, right. First graders don't know that one. You can't teach an old dog new math. Okay. It's like a first grader, right? How about this? Okay, a penny saved is? No, not to a first grader. It's not much. It's true. We could rewrite our Proverbs, because I think first graders got some insight here. Two's company, three's? Uh-uh. These are some pretty clever first graders. You got any teachers in the house? We got to pray for you guys. Yeah, okay, here we go. Children should be seen, but not, spanked. Yes. Isn't that a good one? Well, see, that's first graders. Yeah, it's a first grader. They don't want to get spanked. Okay, and this is my favorite, actually. A bird in the hand, or two in the bush. No, first graders say a bird in the hand is going to poop on you. And again, this isn't biblical knowledge. This isn't anything grand, but it's just, again, how first graders see the world and some of the wisdom. Actually, you see some wisdom in there, don't you? So maybe if you see a bird, you don't pick him up and maybe that's some pretty good wisdom. Yeah, so that's the idea. That's kind of the idea of what Proverbs are generally, and that's what really, at the core of it, that's really what the book of Proverbs is about as well. Now, what makes the book of Proverbs a little bit different is that because it has found its way, not only is it ancient wisdom from Solomon 3,000 years ago, but it became this library of wisdom for the Jewish people. That over the course of their years, times in exile, times coming back, times of establishing their kingdom once again, the time of waiting for the Messiah, even the time of Jesus when he is walking on this earth, and he even used the Proverbs from time to time, that there would be something significant about how it is that we share these meanings, these wisdom things and truth with one another. Because the point of Proverbs is not this, not to try to give you more information, not to try to give you a handbook on how to live life, but to begin to steep our lives in this accumulated wisdom, God's wisdom for us, so that as we encounter complexities in life and challenges in life, we would have a better chance of navigating through them because we've got something that can begin to guide our steps. That's what it's about. That's what it's for, and that's what they're in this book here for us. So if you've never done a study on the book of Proverbs, we're going to be opening that up in these weeks ahead, and I'm going to offer to you before we close today a plan to begin to read along with, because I think that's part of the beauty of the Proverbs as well. Okay, the couple of things here about the Proverbs, as we begin to open them up, we need to realize that in the Proverbs, especially in the main body of the Proverbs, the main verses about chapters 10 through 29 or so, two-thirds of it, are made up of these short little sayings, some of which are going to be about how life ought to be, some of them are just statements about how things are, and some of them are going to give us a little bit of advice for how to craft a more whole and complete life. That's kind of what it is. You're going to find three different types as we work through it, as you read through it, and you'll see that there are differences, but it's important for us as readers of the Word, as people of the Word, to be able to understand that not all the Proverbs are going to be the same because they are there for different purposes, and we need to be able to read with nuanced lenses. Does that make sense? Nuanced lenses, so that we know how to best interpret what this means. I'll give you an example. In Proverbs 14, Proverbs 14 at verse 19, it says this, evil people will bow down to good before good people, and the wicked will bow down at the gates of the godly. Well, that is how it ought to be. You know, it doesn't always work out that way. In fact, oftentimes in the world we live in, we see that the evil people don't bow down to the godly. And oftentimes it appears that the evil seems to be winning. And that causes us a lot of trouble. But it's not how it should be. This is how it ought to be. That the godly ought to be the leaders of those in this world, so that the godly advice and the direction can come through. Next verse goes on to say this: the poor are despised even by their neighbors, while the rich have many so-called friends. I love the way the Bible says that. And again, now this is a statement of just how things are. Have you noticed that people who don't seem to be, who are always in need, who don't seem to be able to carry their own weight, people look down on them? And yet people who seem to have everything have a lot of hangers-on. People are kind of coming and clinging on, trying to get something from them. So-called friends, that as long as they have stuff, they are popular. So this isn't saying this is the way it should be, or this isn't advice for you, hey, get rich so you can have a lot of friends. It's just a statement of fact. This is how it is in the world. And he's just recognizing it, noticing it. And then he moves on to the very next proverb, verse 21. Where it says, it is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. Now, this is one of those godly advice. That there is something blessed in the ability to not only see and care for one's neighbor, but also to especially to help the poor. And so you see, even in this little passage, we just jumped into the middle of the book of Proverbs, and if we didn't see them as different, if we didn't see them as some as statements of how things ought to be, if we didn't see them some as simply statements of fact, this is the way the world is, and if we didn't see them at times as saying, but this is how we can live more blessed and whole lives, if we only saw them through one lens, we would miss the point of two-thirds of your Proverbs. And so as we begin to take a look at these, I want to say that this is going to be the challenge for us. And again, Proverbs is a fantastic book. It's one of those books that can become formative to us. I know that even though he just passed away this past year, Billy Graham, they said that Billy Graham every night would read a proverb. Now there's only 31, and the pattern that Billy Graham did is, maybe some of you have tried this before too, that you would read a proverb based on whatever the date is today, the 8th, you would pick Proverbs number 8. So that tomorrow, you're not confused. Where did I leave off? Oh, today's the 9th? I'll read number 9. And if you miss one, and you go on and the next day is the 11th, you say, okay, I'll read number 11, because next month, I'm sure I'll pick it up. It said, for years and years, up until the time when he died, Billy Graham read a proverb every night. Now, he probably had them pretty close to memorized by the time he got through. But he saw that as value to begin to say, how is it that I lead my life in such a way that I allow God's wisdom to permeate me, to steep in me, so that wisdom begins to come out? And it doesn't happen if we don't begin to open it up and begin to read it. A couple other things before I go on. One of the challenges of Proverbs is this, that sometimes we think that the Proverbs are going to be promises of God to us, but they're not. They are speaking about probabilities most often, either advice to us or probabilities of what is the best way to go. Doesn't mean you have a promise of it. Here's a good example of what is not a promise. The fear of the Lord adds length to life. Now, that's probably going to be true. That's probably going to be true. I'll come back to that idea of fear of the Lord, because that's a big piece of this. But the years of the wicked are cut short. How many of you have known someone who was a dear friend, godly person, but their life was cut short? Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? So this isn't a universal, always going to happen promise of God, that if I live my life according to God's ways, I'm going to live a long life and nothing can get in the way. It's not a promise like that. It's a suggestion to us that it's going to be better for you to live this life. And there may be some things that living in wicked ways will cut your life short, but maybe I've known some pretty wicked people who've lived long lives. Not promises, probabilities. This is the best way to order your life. That's what the book of Proverbs is going to be about. And again, notice it. There's a phrase here. You'll see it over and over again. As you begin reading, I'm going to challenge all of you. This is going to be our Proverbs challenge, our God's wisdom challenge for this next month. Is going to begin reading the book of Proverbs, and we'll read them kind of together. However you want to read them, you can read them. But this phrase, fear of the Lord, is one that pops up over and over again. We heard it already in chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Here we see it, the fear of the Lord adds length to life. Now, what Proverbs is talking about, I want to just make sure we're all clear on this, is not about being afraid of God. It's not about being terrorized by the thought of there being a greater power out in the universe and maybe fearful that he is going to come to stomp on us in some way. No, fear of the Lord that the Proverbs speak about is merely this, and you've probably heard this, maybe you've intuited this, that it merely means to have the utmost respect, reverence, and awe for God. Most of us don't go around fearing God. Quite honestly, most of us don't go around thinking of God at all. What the book of Proverbs is saying is live your life in the awareness, in the awe of, in the reverence of the reality there's a God. Yes, he loves you, but there is a God of great power and might whose ways are better than your ways. Live in that awareness, and you have a better chance of long life. Live in that awareness, and you have a better chance of gaining knowledge. There is going to be something profound here, again, not to engender fear in us, but to engender a sense of awareness of God's goodness and God's ways, that we are not God. Newsflash, we are not God. And we don't get to define what is good and bad. We don't get to define what is good and evil. We don't get to define what is maybe even our best path. We can choose the path we choose, but God is the one who gets to define which is the best path for us. And we are invited as people to say, God, have your way in me. And that's what Proverbs is about allowing a little more of that word to begin to seep in, to soak it up, to begin to allow it to overcome some of the challenges that we face and move us forward. So what I'm going to suggest to you is this. We're going to do, I don't know what we're going to call it, the wisdom challenge. And I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to, in the next 31 days, we're going to go through this. And I'm going to encourage you to see if you can't read all the way through the book of Proverbs. I'm going to do it this way. I've already been reading some, so I was cheating. I got ahead of you. But I'm going to start today with Proverbs 8. And then I'll read Proverbs 9 tomorrow and preach 10 the next. And I'm going to try to do it that way. And as I get to the end of July and get into August, I'll pick up 1, 2, 3, 4 through 7. And that's going to be my plan, to try to read this through day to day, one chapter a day, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same. There's lots of you. Some of you are technologically savvy. There are lots of opportunities. You got it on your phone, on your smartphone. Maybe there's apps that you can have that would be devotional patterns to go along with it if you have the Bible app on your phone, or if you want to dial into one on your computer. Or maybe you're old school like me, and there's something just good about the paper and ink of the Bible. And you say, for this next 30 days, I want to start this pattern, let it seep in. You will find it takes you less than 5 minutes a day. I know you're busy. This will take you less than 5 minutes a day to read it and not rush through it, but read it. Ask that question, is that how it should be? Is that how it is? Is that advice for me to begin to apply to my life? Ask yourself those questions. Begin to walk it through. Begin to see what it has to say about how it is that we can live not only more wise and whole and complete lives, but lives that begin to reflect a little bit more of godliness in us. Because that's what we're called to do. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. That's what we're invited to. This is not just an introduction, it's an invitation to draw in. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding parables and proverbs and the sayings and riddles of the wise. Because again, fear of the Lord, living in the awareness of his presence with us, is going to be the beginning of knowledge, and we would be foolish to despise that wisdom. We would be foolish not to avail ourselves to that wisdom. And it's there in the book of Proverbs, in the Bible that you have in your hand, or it's on your desk, or it's by your bedstand. We all have one. Let's not be fools and not avail ourselves to it. Before I have Joanna come back up, I want to just take a moment. Let's pray, and I'm going to challenge you again. This is for us. We're going to be doing this for the next few weeks, about a little bit better than a month. We'll be in the book of Proverbs, you know what I mean. My challenge to you is to be reading along with us day by day. And if you want to start at the beginning because you don't want to miss out, you don't want to miss out how it begins, go right ahead. Just start there. But I'm going to go with numbers because I'm good with numbers and I'm not too good with remembering what I did yesterday. Okay. Father, thank you for the opportunity to grow in you and to allow your word to penetrate us, to allow our lives to begin to reflect that word, that we might be part of your solution in the midst of the complex realities of the world we live. God, I thank you that you can speak to each of us, and each of us individually. It's not just a pattern that one size fits all, but that you, by your Spirit, can use these words to speak to us individually, to begin to give our lives the context that they require, to give our lives the rudder to navigate through the challenges that we face. God, to help us to deal with not only with what overwhelms us, but even to begin to be more of a light for you in the midst of this world. We lift up this week with our Vacation Bible School, but I also lift up each one who would accept this challenge to begin to allow your wisdom to be that which is the foundation of these lives that you enable us to live. God, help us to live in proper fear of you, in our awareness of you, in our reverence, in awe, moment to moment, day to day. Enable us to order our life in a way that gives you glory. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.